Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. Our music doesn't seem to want to be clear, but the song is saying, pour me out. All I am is yours. You welcome to Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette, and we come on this last Friday of 2018, humble, grateful, and thankful for a mighty God who has done all for us. And as the last chapter echoes, he did not forget to look after us. He did not forget to look after us. Through all of the challenges and trials and situations and circumstances that we've come through in this year of 2018, no matter what the atmosphere was politically or financially or socially or medically or professionally, God has been faithful to taking care of every concern that was a concern for us. We are just grateful. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, and we come before him with praise, worshiping and honoring an awesome God, looking in awesome wonder at the power of his love that has kept us, transformed us, sustained us, forgiven us, loved us, healed us, and delivered us, that has been all in all to us. All we are his. We want to be poured out so that he will fill us up. So good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. We are in our final chapter of Max Lucado's In the Grip of Grace. It timed perfectly for the end of the year and the end of the book. And we can review some things. We want to look at some things. We ask your Bibles out so that you can read. We want to look at Romans. Oh, I forgot already. Romans 10, 1 through 13. We want to look at it in the Message Bible. In our workbook, Max Lucado has suggested some questions and insights and studies that we need to look at. And so we want to look at that as we conclude his book, What is the Era that Paul mentioned in the beginning of that scripture. I love it, the 12th and 13th verse. It says, in what way does this sum up the message of In the Grip of Grace and how? So we want to look at some of these things. What promise is given in verse 11? Why is it important? According to verse 9 and 10, how is one saved? Then the arrow that he pointed to in verse 1 through 3, he gives an answer for it in verse 4. And so we want to look at these things, as we sum up his book. We also want to look at what began the book, the four brothers, We want to revisit that now that we've concluded his teaching and to see where were we when our grace experience changed our minds, transformed our position. Which parable son were we, and where were we when grace met us and we said yes, and we surrendered to the hand of God, the grip of God that brought us out of the place that we were in? And then I challenge you to remember, what was it in that grace that caused you to stop, to listen, and then to take his hand and come forth? As with the four brothers, they ended up in four places because they were disobedient to their father, who was in a kingdom that was perfect, had a castle there to provide all their needs, every conceivable desire of their hearts were there, fulfilled through the power of their father. And yet the one thing he warned them about, going, don't go to the river. Don't go to the river, because the river was strong and the river would overpower them. And they, as boys do, decided to go and check out the river. And the first son insisted on putting his hand in the water. He had to just touch it. He just wanted to touch it and see what it would be like. And so he asked his other brothers to hold on to him while he reached into the river to touch it. And they held on, and it drew them all in. The current was so strong, it pulled them in, and then it whirled them and tossed them and brought them to a strange land. And they ended up on shore there. While there, they fellowshiped with one another daily, remembering the the father, remembering all the things that they had and how good it was with the father. And then when they would go to sleep, they're together every night in the morning. They awakened and there was only three sons there. So they went to look for the first son and they found him in the valley. He had found the inhabitants of that horrible country and that place that was just so debased, and the enemies were, the inhabitants were heathens, and they were very different from the ways of the father. And yet the son found a place there and decided to build a hut. So he became the hut builder in the heart of the enemy's camp. He was convinced and brainwashed into thinking that the things that they provided there would be satisfying as the things that his father did. And yet he was being greatly deceived. What he thought was this wonderful place, which is, it was just what he wanted. He wanted to feel good about whatever he did. He wanted to totally disregard God and just living it up, doing whatever felt good to him. And so he dwelt there. And then the other brothers went back, and as they sat around remembering, the memory was fading. It was fading in their minds and in their spirit. And they, next morning, another brother had gone, and they went looking for him, and they found him high on a mountain looking down at the other brother, judging him, deciding that he was the biggest sinner of all, though they had all sinned, and that he would watch the brother that was in the lowland, and he would be the watchdog. He was distracted from God because he felt his sins were near as bad as his brother's, and so he felt good about pointing the finger at someone else, whereas the first brother felt no guilt at all. He wasn't guilty because, after all, it was his life. He could do what he wanted. And then the third brother disappeared one morning, the next morning, another morning. And what the younger brother went looking, found him at the river, and he was stacking rocks because he realized he was wrong, that he was always guilty, and that he needed to work his way back to the father. He wanted the father. He owed that. Oh, I owe. So I have to work my way back. He was stacking rocks, trying to go back up the river, but the river was too strong, it was too deep, it was too wide, and it was so long. He really couldn't save himself, though he thought he could. So one indulged himself, the first one, the other compared himself to other people, and therefore didn't seem that he was that bad. And then the last one felt that he had to work his way back to the father. And then the last son remained waiting. He waited, and then the father sent the eldest son to come and bring his children home. And when he found the first son saw him coming and didn't want any part of him, said, "You just come to steal my good time, my good thing, and not want me to have life is short, and so I want to do it my way." And the eldest brother extended his hand, but his hand was refused by the hut builder. And then the eldest brother found the brother who was high on the mountain looking down at the sin of the first brother, and he was fault-finding and judgmental, and told his brother he did not need him because his sins weren't that bad. But, oh, did his other brother need to be punished, needed to be corrected, needed to be straightened out. But he himself was distracted from the true love of God. And then the third brother that was trying to make his way back home on his own because he felt he needed to measure up to prove to his father that he was sorry, that he was repentant. He was stressed out. He was trying to do it on his own. And he refused, actually, the grace of the eldest son. And yet the fourth son, who was remained there, was so overwhelmed to see his elder brother come to him. He received the hand that was extended to him with a thankful heart. He didn't put it aside like the other brother who said, I don't have time, I get to go to work. And he didn't receive it like the eldest son who just wanted to disregard God. But he sought God, and he received the benefit of grace. He embraced the benefit of grace. And so the question is, where were you when grace met you? What was the deciding experience that caused you to reach out and take the hand of the eldest son? Where were you, and what word of God brought you to a transformed heart, a surrendered heart, where you realized your way was not the way and that his way was the only way? And so we do. We want to question ourselves, where were we when we got to the point where we wanted him, please don't forget to take care of me? There was one who realized that the Lord and God of creation was there with him in the midst of his trial, in the midst of his demise. And he told him, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. He realized his weakness. He realized the strength of the one that was next to him. He acknowledged it, and he acknowledged the fact that he needed him. Where were we when we acknowledged the fact, I can't do this, I must have a Savior in my life, a God over my life, a Lord to rule my life, a King to surrender my life to. Not necessarily our place of salvation, but our place of deliverance. Because they were being delivered from places that they found themselves in, and it's progressive oftentimes. And so we want to never forget. We always want to remember, you know, when we take communion, the thing is to remember what Christ has done, not so much the things on the cross, though that is very important, but what he's done in your life as a result of shedding his blood for you. What has it done for you today? What has it done for you now in this present age? And so we want to look at some of the precepts that were presented to us in the book of Romans, particularly Romans 10. Going from the 1st through the 13th verse and paying special attention and comparing it to these four brothers. Where were the, what they call it, Paul's countrymen when he started to bring forth proof concerning their position? So if someone can start reading Romans 10, we'll start with the first four verses, preferably out of one of the more colorful versions like the amplified or the message or that sort of thing. And then we can look at it and we can dialogue. First four verses. Yes.
Hello. Yes. So this is from the message. Believe me, friend, all I want for Israel is what's best for Israel, salvation, nothing less. I want it with all my heart and pray to God for it all the time. I really readily admit that the Jews are impressively energetic regarding God, but they are doing everything exactly backwards. They don't seem to realize that this comprehensive setting things right, that his salvation is God's business, and a more flourishing business it is. Right across the street, they set up their own salvation shops and noisily hawk their wares. After all their years of refusing to really deal with God on his terms, insisting instead on making their own deal, they have nothing to show for it. The earlier revelation was intended simply to get us ready for the Messiah, who did put everything right for those who trust him to do it.
Amen. So what do we hear in those first verses of the book of Romans, chapter 10? What brother resounds in Paul's description of where his countrymen were? And what was the purpose of Paul even addressing them? I think so often we do things that we have not given a divine purpose to. So when we attempt to go forth, whether we're teaching or doing good or reading our Bible, no matter what it is, going to church, interacting with one another, it has to have a divine purpose motivating us to do that. And so Paul makes it very clear at the very beginning. He said, the only reason I'm doing this is for your salvation. He understood and he desired that they be saved. And so it says, you know, when we see one another in a fault, those that are spiritual minded, you go to them. You go to them and you bring to them in love that which they have in need of from the Word of God. And so he was very clear of making sure they understood, I am coming to you not as a brother on a heel, judging what you're doing, condemning you, not as a brother that's trying to make brownie points with God. And so as a result, I'm stacking my own rocks, if you will, you know, that are building me treasures in heaven. But I am doing this because I want you, my heart's desire, very motivation of my life, he's sharing with them, is for them to be saved, for their salvation. And so he wasn't just doing stuff, but he also said, you know, it is my prayer. I am interceding on behalf of you. Such a perfect example of what we should be doing with one another. I know here we go, talking about that one another thing again, but that's what Paul is doing. A one who is spiritual, bringing correction, bringing truth, bringing grace to one that he sees is not walking in the path that God has for them. And so he had,
Oh, I am so sorry. You can tell I was out of sync. I'm sorry. I was supposed to press mute. But good morning. God bless you all. And thank you so much for your prayers. I appreciate them. And to God be the glory, I'm trying to get out of here today. All right?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful interception. We are all very grateful. We worship. Oh, we just glorify God for just the sound of your voice in strength, in hope, and in determination to get out of here today.
Praise God. Yes. I will press mute because, as you know, got people coming in and out. So, but I just want to say thank you.
Amen. Amen. And we're here and we are rejoicing with you and we are just so grateful to God for your faithfulness. You're so faithful. That's what we started out. You poured out to him. He has not. He has never left us. He has always been there. He has through, no matter how dark and how long the drought may be. He never leaves us. He didn't get to take care of you. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Just one little question. My daughter is here. If we know of someone that might want to do just a few hours of home health private, just to give me a little assistance, because this is the holiday weekend, and, you know, and nothing is in place, and ain't nobody going to work. So, but if anybody can come up, so we're just throwing out a whole lot of ideas. So if anybody can come up with it, I might want to do a little quick something in the morning. Let me know.
Amen. All right. Apostle Dooling noted that we will definitely keep that in mind. Absolutely. Well, praise the Lord. All right. Wow, what a joy.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We thank God. Hallelujah. Yes. Is that Elder Roberto on the line?
Ma'am?
Are you on the line? Just give us a word of prayer. Yes, Elder. You give us a word of prayer and praise for our sister and for you. Hallelujah.
Yes,
take
ma'am.
Your time, he said, to acknowledge him. We acknowledge him. We don't want to thank you and then move on. No, we want just a praise break. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Father, Lord, we come today thanking you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for our sister, Father God. Thank you for thanking you for how you brought her through the heart surgery, Father God. Father, we thank you for how you led the doctor's hands, Father God, how you gave them the wisdom, Father God, to go in and do the procedure. Father, we thank you for how you're strengthening her, Father God. We thank you for her complete healing even now, Father God. We thank you even now, Father God, for you're so merciful, you're so loving, you're so great, Father God. You're so kind, Father God. Father, we love you today, Father God. We praise you on today, Father God. We glorify you on today, Father God. We lift up your holy name. We magnify your name, Father God. For you're so gracious unto us, Father God. And not only, Father God, do we thank you for what you've done for Minister James, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing for Overseer. Father, we thank you. For you're great and you're mighty, Father God. We thank you for salvation on today, Father God. Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Master. Oh, we give you glory, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for how you're healing overseer, Father God, how you're purifying her blood, Father God. Father, we thank you even now, Father God, for how you're running out, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Everything that's causing, Father God, the condition on our body, Father God. We thank you for your word is true, Father God. You said you sent your word to heal us, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for how your word is manifesting itself in our lives, in our bodies, in our minds, Father God. We give you glory, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for how he bled, suffered, and died for the remission of our sins, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just give you glory even now, Father God, for this time of fellowship, Father God. We thank you even now for Max Licato, Father God, how you've given him the revelation of grace, Father God. Father, we love you today. And we'll forever give you glory. We'll forever magnify your name. We'll forever give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
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 Thank you. Hallelujah. If anyone else would like to pray, this is our opportunity to praise and thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. Yes. Wonderful God. Wonderful God.
Thank you.
Great grace. This is great grace. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We thank him and we just praise him. As we just bow down to this is great. Creator of all things. And the magnificent author of grace. We are so grateful for the grace of God. Great is his mercy towards his people. He renews and sustains and maintains. He restores. He revives. He transforms. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is ever present to perfect the people in every aspect of our lives. We thank God for his perfect plan, his unfailing love, his daily graces and mercy. We thank him for the benefit, and we thank him for the joy of the journey in Jesus' name. So we do want to acknowledge him just to worship him. He is so worthy to be worshipped, to be honored, to be praised. He's worthy of all blessing and riches, and we want to allow ourselves the privilege of worshiping and praising the Lord God in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we definitely want to praise him for his grace. Some of the titles as I was reading Max Licato's book, he chose the nails. He still moves stones. He calms the eye of the storm. The great house of God. Great day, every day. In love, where he gives. The next door Savior, he's right there where we are. No wonder they call him Savior. Hope in the world, he found that grace. Remember me. Don't forget to take care of me. He outlived our life. A great God that created us, do great things for us.
when God whispers your name, the path to hope, and knowing that God knows you and never forgets you and cares about the details of your life. The gentle thunder, the God who will do whatever it takes to lead his children back to him. A gentle thunder. Praise God. Praise God. Facing the giants. When God is for you, no challenge is too great. Come thirsty. How do we generate our hearts and sink into the wellspring of God's love? The applause of heaven. The secret to a truly satisfying life. We look at the applause of heaven. All of these benefits, all of these awesome elements that are the privilege of the children of God, who, if you take the elder brother's hand or whatever place he finds you in, he will return you to your seat in heavenly places where angels were silent. In Jesus Christ's final days can teach you about what really matters the most. So we want to open ourselves up to the greatness of that which is a benefit, a daily benefit. God has done that this day. This day has God done that. And we will rejoice in it and praise him for it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the question that arises in Romans 10 and the error of the countrymen of Paul. Okay. He's doing this because he loves. He loves the Israelites, and he wants to see them saved, just as Christ loves us and has done all so that we might receive the salvation he has for us. So I love it when Paul, he first even addresses them, my brothers and sisters. So he connected himself to them. Not that he was greater than them, but just that he was one of them. And Christ came as one of us to extend this grace to us. And he acknowledged that he saw in them the things that they were doing. He said, so I testify about them that they have a certain enthusiasm for God, but not in accordance with what is correct and vital knowledge. Now, isn't that a wonderful way to say you just wrong? There is a grace in even how we speak to one another. And Paul had the right to say, you are this hypocrite, that you're wrong. You know, he said, but you know what? I see your enthusiasm. I see that what you do, even though there's a little problem, because it's not according to the correct and vital knowledge about God and his purpose. And so knowing that, for not knowing God, he says, for not knowing about God's righteousness, which is based upon faith, and seeking to establish your own righteousness. So he shares with them, this is your problem. You're trying to build bricks, rocks, to go back up that river, and you can't. That is not the way to get back home. That is not the way to reach the Father. That is not going to be the way you get there. Example that Max Potato shared in the writing was, it's like you can jump 10 Where is it we find ourselves when we realize I went 10 feet, but I got a million more to go? Where were you? Where were you when you realized, you know what, I have all these things to live it up, but life is not going to last long? And then what? I think the word says, I pray it says, that, you know, make it, you come into the world. You come in here with nothing, and you're going to leave with nothing. Even if they put a good outfit on you, your spirit can't wear that outfit. So it's not even going to be the outfit to end up here. So there's so much about the finiteness of our lives that need to overwhelm us, so that we can pour it out and allow him to fill us up, to fill us up. So as you read this, what is your take? What insight do you have? Where were you? Anybody, we're dialoguing. This is our Friday Fellowship of Learning. Okay, amen. That's Job 121. That came, oh, yeah, Job said that he came into the world. And he's going to leave just like he came in. And so the hut builder, even though the things he thought he was accumulating and had counterfeit resources. Okay, amen. Apostle Sharon, that the naked we came in the world is in the Bible a lot. So it's a point that God is making to us. Hey, look at this, because you know what? That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. And what they say after that is, you know, there's two ways. I used to think the author says there's two ways, and which way do we opt for? And so where were we, and how did God get our attention with that hand of Christ being reached out to us? When was it we gripped back? You know, when was it that we extended our right hand to him and says, you're at my right hand, Lord, therefore I will not be moved. What was moving us that needed us to, those things would no longer be a part of our limitations and our boundaries and our life, because we're grounded now in the rock, in the solid rock. The Lord has built the house. How did the Lord build your house? You know, what words did he use? What promises did he give that caused you to allow him to put those bricks in your life so that it would be what fortifies you against the enemy? So we want to bring those things, Holy Spirit, bring those things back to our remembrance. Bring them back, because he said we overcome by the voice of the blood of God, but by the word of our testimony. Those are the things we need to testify to. Those are the things that we get more strength when we remember what God has done and we share it. Because once we share it, oh dear, we're having bad reception. I don't know how to Bravo, the reception. I don't know if it's the internet or what it is. I do not know. But take it off of speaker. Hopefully you can hear it better now. I reach it off Bluetooth. I pray that this is better. So the lines open up to you.
Well, Minister Pollard, I think just as a child being taught that Jesus, you know, died for my sins, started, you know, and that, you know, one day, you know, if you believed and accepted him, that one day you would reign with him. And that has always been my desire to reign, to be with him, you know. And then just coming through life's journey and knowing that God loved me so much that he gave his son, you know, just knowing that and keeping that in the forefront of your mind and studying his word and realizing that when you constantly do things that that displeases him, it causes Christ's wounds afresh. You know, when I was coming up, we were taught that was dwelled on so strongly, as well as hell. You know, it was hell, you know, fire and brimstone when I was coming up. Constant. And they don't talk too much about that today, but that was just kept right before you all the time. And but then him, the things that he brought me, has brought me through, I know that without him, I wouldn't have made it. I would have been in the insane asylum. So the things that he brought me through let me know that he is who he say he is. And there's no doubt in my mind. No one can tell me any different because of what he has brought me through. And I know that it was only him that did it.
Okay. I was trying to try different methods so that I could speak. So I was had something in my ear that did not work. And then, so it's interesting that you mentioned how, you know, they talked about fire and brimstone, and I remember a sermon of that type and realizing what hell was really like and deciding, was there really anything worth, you know, going to hell for? Yes. You know, it tastes different strokes for different folks. But that turned my life around. I mean, there were some things that I was doing. But I was in the hut. I definitely was in the hut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing it my way, living the way I thought was the, you know, full of joy and pleasures. And then when I heard that, when I heard about hell, and I'll never forget, Reverend Fuller preached that Sunday. I went home that day, and as they say, I swept out my house. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought I was crazy. They thought I was just crazy. And yet it is something that, you know, I am very much aware of that turning point at that moment. And I had been saved. But I had become a husband. I was a husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was. And it was interesting because when you do that, he said that when the elder brother came for the brother that was in the hut, everybody around him started saying, "Oh, you don't want him. He's just trying to take your joy. He's trying to take the stuff that belongs to you, and he just wants to imprison you and all of this stuff." And that's really what the enemy did. They started saying lies and deciding if you do that, that means you.
mad, and you must be a homosexual, and you must be this and that. And it's like, no, I'm not going to hell. The brother didn't come. I'm taking the brother's hand. Okay, I'm out of here. Because hell, this ain't no hell for me. And so there has to be that. I'm so grateful for their grace finding me in that valley. Okay. Finding me there.
Yes.
And bringing me from that place. And not allowing my eyes to be deceived, and allowing the scales to fall off of my eyes, so that I can see that was not the way that the Father had desired for me. That was not to be my destiny. That was not to be a place of temporal for me. And so with that came the scripture for me. In Psalms, when it says, I was in the house of the Lord, and I looked up, I was a beast before the Lord. So unworthy, so a beast. That's a wild, untamed, not unrealistic, but just an idiot, you know, wild face. It's just a joke. You know, I was a beast before the Lord. So that I could be redeemed. And so those are the scriptures sometimes that get us, and they go right to the heart of what it is we need. He says in the other, that was in Old Testament and New Testament, it was saying that the daily I have to be crucified for Christ, but nevertheless I live. I realize giving up the hut was crucifying the flesh. But nevertheless, I live. So I didn't die, but rather giving it up caused me to have life. And that life was for someone who loved me so much that he died for me. And so that was the greatest lover in eternity. We have at our hand reach. We just have to reach back and allow him to take our hand. So anybody else? So wonderful, wonderful dialogue.
Hello. When it says, where were you when grace met you? I think I was at a place of desperation, and as one brother, I wanted to do it my way and saw that my way wasn't working and it wasn't going to work, and didn't want to live in the guilt, shame, and condemnation, but even in knowing if I continue on, I will go to hell. And so the word of God that brought me to a transformed that was fully pleasing, forgiven, that I was forgiven and pleasing and acceptable in his sight, and that I could, you know, day by day, if I walked with him, he would, you know, not that I've arrived completely, but I know that every day is a day that I know I'm coming closer to him. So that was what I felt in that, that word, that it's where God brought me, you know, through to realize that I was complete in him.
Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that part of the study we've done last this year, I guess it really is, excuse me, this year, has been in the vein of it's not us that's doing it. Was understanding that it is God's commitment that is going to bring us home. It is God's commitment that will perfect us. It is God going to do the work. I love in the absolute surrender when it says, my prayer needs to be, I pray that God will make me willing for him to make me willing. You know, it's like, there's nothing, he does it all. He has committed to doing all of it.
And he's a protector. He will do it all. And that he's not going to stop till it's done. And he has everything in place. I know it already today. So rejoice in this day and rejoice in where we are, because he has already fulfilled his promise. It is for people to know all the promises of the Lord, to know what he has promised, because it empowers me to not do things, but to do them with joy, to do them without being weary, to do them without bounds and limitations. His promises frees us from our own responsibility, and he gives us a guarantee of the success we're going to have. And so I only say it's not a responsibility, but it is a purpose. It's a pleasure and to glorify him, and that it has a heart that wants all things to glorify God. Like Paul said, for my brothers and my sisters, he must do our house and fire for your salvation. No other motivation. It's my house desire that has asked it. Still will continue to enlarge himself with individuals who live and believe the call of grace. Because heaven, hell was not created for mankind. It was not. And it only enlarged himself because mankind was choosing the enemies of God. And that's because they will go where the enemies of God go. But hell was created to be this beast. And so it should be our desire to help individuals receive their promised destination, which is heaven. And so we just close out today's and this year's word from the word with that. Let love motivate your heart. Let that sincere desire for salvation for others motivate your heart in all that you say, think, and do, that it may glorify our God and bring to others to this blessed place of hope and this awesome future that God has planned for us. So we will convene next year, God willing. Had said we would start in the, the 12th first Christmas. I don't know if how many individuals on the line have purchased that book. If you've gotten that book, can you just let me know?
Can't hear you.
Which is raising.
Okay. Yeah. What's the book?
Okay, well, if you don't have it, don't buy it. Blog Talk. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book.
They couldn't hear
but
you,
it's
man.
More of a... Huh?
They could
we can't
not
hear you.
You say the name of the book because you're really muffled, and sometimes
okay.
It's clear and other times it's really muffled. They couldn't hear you say the name of the book or ask the question.
Okay. How many people have the 12 transgressions? Okay. Don't buy it. Excuse me.
Well,
I have it over here. Oh.
You have it? Well, I know you have it. But we are looking to find a book that's going to be more conducive to our fellowship. That's more of a book probably that needs to be done in person with a lot of resource and research. And so we're looking at a couple of things. I do apologize that
we don't have it solidified yet. However, when you come Friday, by then you will know what it is. And so we're going to spend the first week of Blog Talk for Words for the Word in getting the promises of God, knowing the promises of God, sharing the promises of God as it relates to, okay, I take that back. It'll be one another in the Message Bible. Okay.
She said one another in the Message Bible. She said one another in the Message Bible.
Okay, so we're going to be reading from the Message Bible, is it?
Yes, we're going to find all the scriptures about one another in the Bible, and we're going to read them in the Message version. We're going to do a fruit inspection. Can everybody understand me? I'll do Bluetooth next week or something. I don't know. They say I'm garbled today. They should be like, that's how my mind is, like, garbled right now.
Could you hear what she said?
And Apostle is repeating one another in the Message Bible. So I understand. And I think we're going to find that this is going to be the foundation for 2019 that God is requiring of his people. And from that, we're going to learn obedience. So that's one of the books we're looking at, The School of Obedience by Andrew Murray. It's on public domain, which means you can get it free. You can download it, and you can purchase it. Andrew Murray, School of Obedience. And the other is another, I think, Andrew Murray book. No, what is that? Oh, what is that? What I said? Oh. All right. Elder Deborah, can you share where they could go to get that BOX?
Okay, I hope you guys can hear me. Okay, I'm in a noisy environment. LibriVox, LibriVox, L I B as in boy, R I as in ice cream box. V as in victory, O, X as in X-ray. LibriVox.org. It's a public domain website for books that are not copywritten or outside of the copyright laws or whatever, or where it's public domain. LibriVox.org. I can do, I can send you a link to that if you like.
Yeah, send me a link, and then those on the line, use that link, just call me at 630-701-4303. And most of you know my phone number. Just call me on my phone. I will get it to you. School of Obedience, yes. So we're going to see how that works for us. But if you have any other books that you want to suggest, please give them to me, and that way I can be reviewing them as we go through. I have another one, but I can't find what I did with the name of it. But we definitely are going to be looking at the one another scripture. You just look it up in the back of your Bible, or if you go online, you can just say one another scriptures, and it'll download at least 53, bare minimum. Okay.
One another scriptures. One another, yes. Scriptures in the Message. from the Message Bible. Okay. And so the book that also that book, is that going to be that you're considering, is that going to be Audible? On Audible too?
It will be Audible, and it will be what is that other thing? You can put it on your computer like a Word document, and it'll read it to you.
Read it that way. Okay.
That's been our problem, trying to find a book that is Audible or something that just can be accessed by everybody. And
right.
The 12
okay.
Transgressions was not. So,
But
then one another, definitely, they're in the Bible. They're what God has ordained for us to build our lives on. And so we just want it out of the Message version because it gives us a different slight perspective. When you read it, it takes it out of James time and put it in Donald Trump time. Today. Amen, amen. So I thank everybody for this wonderful year. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say that it's also a good idea if you have one of those, what are the Bibles, like parallel Bibles, that will give you King James and NIV or King James and Message. A lot of people have those. That's a good one to use for study because then you get to see what the traditional way that we've heard it most of the times out of King James, and then you kind of get a more up-to-date, and you can kind of see them side by side. Reading the Bible, I think, will also do that for you for free.
Yeah.
BLB.org.
Blue Letter Bible and Gateway.
Gateway.
I don't know if the Blue Letter has left, but I know Gateway has.
I don't know.
Blue Letter doesn't have Message, but Gateway Bible does have it in the Message version. And so you can tell whatever scripture you want, and they'll give it in any of the versions that you want. And they do have the Message, and they have Amplified, which is also another good version. Yes.
Okay.
All right, then.
Okay.
So we're going to share with us. Okay. If you have any questions, just give me a call, and maybe it won't be so garbled. I'll have to figure out how to perfect that. We'll work on it. All right. So do enjoy these last days of 2018 by praising and worshiping the God of our creation who has allowed us to see another day in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Happy